From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Welcome, News OK listeners, to the most delicious podcast in, any guesses? Universe, Twitterverse, Facebookery.
I liked Facebookery.
Facebookery.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, we'll send it out there. We'll really go with the Facebook push this year. It's the Top Chef podcast. Should have been here last week.
It was brilliant.
It was some of the best podcasting you will have ever heard, only to have it dashed in a technical meltdown created by Paige. Where are you, Paige? Anyway, I'm your host, Dick and Kathy, along with, who are you guys again?
I'm Greg Elwell.
I'm Matt Clayton.
Yeah.
Well, sound excited about that, too.
I'm a little depressed about it today.
Yeah, well, because last week was so energetic. It was a dynamic broadcasting experience, and it's gone. So, you know
what?
Not
that I was here. I just heard about it.
Yeah.
Right. People on the street were talking about it. There was a newspaper boy shouting, extra.
Yeah, there's a pirated bootleg version somewhere. I think Paige might have that out on the street. I'm not sure. But anyway, we're now 2 weeks into Top Chef. We said farewell to Jennifer Zavala. Not sadly.
No.
Not at all.
That was terrible.
I don't want to unpack. I think it's bad luck.
Ha-ha! Guess what you should do.
Everyone else was right. Well, you know, in the end, maybe she didn't have to repack.
That's
true.
She was there for half a day, maybe.
Is that? But I guess my question is, would you rather stay and possibly win a competition or have an easier time packing?
Well, I'd rather have one of them.
Okay.
If you can't have both, so.
I think your earlobes got in the way.
I don't know. And we had all these great lines about the frightening Hector Santiago. Greg, you're a movie guy. What's the guy's name in From Dusk Till Dawn?
That guy doesn't have a name.
He's just the scary guy.
He's just the scary Mexican guy in every movie ever.
And now Top Chef.
Is he in Inglourious Bastards?
I'm sure he has.
Can you
to
say that on
he's got to be. He's got to be some sort of Mexican, German, Nazi or something. He'll show up.
He tried to fry everything.
And then I don't know if you guys noticed this or not, but our old friend Joe Wirtz from the Oklahoma Gazette is also a competitor, slightly larger version than Joe. He goes by the name Eli Kirstein. Mm-hmm. That's our man Joe. He's doing okay so far.
Yes,
but we'll see.
I'll tell you what makes him so dangerous is that hair is aerodynamic, and you can go so much more quickly through a kitchen with hair lice.
And you can impale people.
You absolutely can.
Straight into them. So anyway, so last night, episode 2, let's talk about that for just a minute, shall we? What did you guys think about the quickfire?
On the one hand, I really enjoyed, I liked the challenge itself.
Mm-hmm.
The whole playing craps conceit, it just, at some point, I'm kind of like, okay, I get it, you're in Las Vegas. Have we gone over this before? It's been mentioned. Okay. If they keep up with it, if it's every single week, it's going to get annoying. But I loved the challenge because you found a lot of people who were very confident putting very few items into their dish, and, mm-hmm. and some of the best chefs having to deal with cramming 10 different ingredients, you know.
Yeah, I think their initial fear was a little bit unfounded when they got in there. Like, for instance, the girl that wanted to add the butter. You know, 6 or 7 ingredients, if you're counting salt and pepper, mm-hmm. it's not that hard.
Salt, pepper, and oil, I think, were free, right?
Yeah, right. Those are freebies. But, I mean, there's other spices that are a squirt of lemon or something like that you could probably get away with and not be too overbearing. But no, that was interesting. And, yes, it was. We can thank Vegas for it, but I'm with you. I think that at the point we had the showgirls out there, mm-hmm. I mean, when Wayne Newton shows up, that's going to be... I'm pretty sure...
Siegfried and Roy, episode 7.
Geez. David Blaine's got to show up.
No, in the hilarious podcast that we did before, mm-hmm. I think I mentioned that the children in the streets with the cards with naked women on them that flipped them, you know. Now, if we can get them in, then I think we'll have ourselves a show, but I'm not 100%
sure. I think we don't. I don't even think we need to talk about this episode anymore if we keep hyping the episode that no one can listen to from last week. I think that's the...
trust me, you guys missed it. Anyway, so on we go.
It was so good, it had to be deleted.
Podcast so good, it had to be deleted. That's right. That's right. Kind of like, yeah, Ron Duprat and his inability to figure out the word vice.
Right.
That was
great. I was on a boat.
Yeah, that was fantastic stuff. So,
on to, that's in the Haitian Bible, I think. It is.
No boarding boats.
So, oh, and well, on to the elimination challenge. In keeping with the sort of cheesy Vegas theme, it was a bachelor party. A bachelor slash bachelorette party, which I gotta tell you, looked pretty lame for a bachelor slash bachelorette party.
What kind of bachelor slash bachelorette party takes place in the middle of the day?
Yeah, and right next to each other.
Yeah, right. I mean, is there? I think their wedding rings, when they finally get hitched, are actually going to be chained together so that they can never get far enough away to do anything wrong.
And it says lame.
Yeah.
It seems. Well, it's like
it says L.A.
versus me.
That was funny.
That's getting to the level of
That's we're getting close. I mean, it's like, you know, they pull out all these stops and have the crap tables and all this kind of stuff, but they haven't really gotten Vegas yet.
Yeah.
And like, if you're going to do a bachelor or bachelorette party, you would think that you would go.
Yeah.
Like The Hangover.
Yeah, you know?
I was totally expecting like all these girls having to like walk in with their hors d'oeuvres and canapes and some like really poorly lit, smoky, you know, all the guys sitting around in a circle trying not to make eye contact. I mean, that's what I was expecting.
I want to see them go into a room and there's a live tiger and they say, you have to cook it.
And Mike Tyson is there.
For Mike Tyson.
Exactly.
Now, that would be a great challenge. Now, that said, the challenge itself was fine. The setup wasn't very good, but the challenge was fine. So, what did you guys think? Talk to me about some of your impressions of these guys under fire. We've only seen them for 2 weeks so far. Anybody standing out?
I think I can't remember his name. Redbeard is what
Kevin Gillespie.
So my wife refers to him as.
Or Grimace. We refer to him as
Grimace. Grimace is pretty good, too. Nice. I think he's sort of separating himself. Above, I think we've found our, as we mentioned last week, I think we found our person to hate this year, and Mr. Isabella.
Yeah,
he is terrible.
Yeah. It's like he's so bad. It's on purpose.
Right.
Well, exactly.
You have to be obnoxious.
The only thing I hate more than the cliche of, you know, I didn't come here to make friends. Yeah. Is the guy who comes on and says, well, I'm the villain, and it's like, dude,
thanks, Puck. Let's move along.
Exactly. Didn't we get done with this 15 years ago?
Right. Well, and the thing about like last year with Stefan is Stefan was really good.
Yeah.
And he's European, so he could get away with it.
Yeah.
And
he had great t-shirts.
Right, exactly. And it's like,
he reminded me of the villain from the first Die Hard. You know, that's all the way through. And I've always said during Die Hard, which, you know, you can always watch Die Hard, but halfway through, it's like, okay, they're trying to steal all this money. Wouldn't it be nice to see him make a snack? And that's what I've always thought.
Right.
And so
in walks Stefan, and he makes a snack.
That's how Stefan was. He's a gifted chef.
Right.
And that's just it. I think you can be a villain. There's always going to be people you don't like on one of these shows, and that's totally fine. Don't go out of your way to be that guy.
Yeah.
If you just have a personality that rubs people the wrong way, that's fine. But, you know, don't talk about it. It doesn't have to be so meta.
I felt like he got lost on the way to the Big Brother.
Exactly.
It's like, forget about it. So I don't think we're going to have to worry about him too much, personally. He doesn't seem like he's got a lot of chops.
It seem like he's headed out for a flame out pretty quickly, it seems like. But Jennifer Caro also is sort of established.
I think she might actually be the Stefan because she seems like she knows what she's doing.
Yeah. And they've kind of teased in upcoming episodes that a little of that's going to come out. She's going to be a little bitchy with people. Mm-hmm. Honestly, Kevin and Jennifer are my picks for two of the last three.
Yeah. So far, I think so too. You know, and that was yesterday. We're not really talking about what happened. The guys in it was Battle of the Sexes, men against women. The men served the bachelorette party. The women served the bachelor party. I guess we should take a quick step to the controversy. With Ashley, who You know, she's gay and she was offended. And I'm sorry, Ashley, but homosexuals are not banned from bachelor parties.
Absolutely
not.
They're not. And in fact, depending on which state you're in, not banned from being married.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
That's right. Now, I sympathize with her feelings on the matter, but come on, get over it and cook something.
Right. Now, that said, she did cook something.
Yes.
She cooked two somethings. Yes. And was I the only one when she said, "We've got time for another dish," that you just said, "What?
What?" Yeah, is that Fonzie circling the shark ramp?
Well, then,
yes,
and
it
like
is.
That never works.
In the history of Top Chef has anyone ever done well by doing too much?
Right.
And that was Hubert Keller.
Right.
All right.
He seemed pretty good.
Exactly.
The dude made pasta in a shower? Come on, really? Yeah.
Yeah, she apparently hasn't ever watched the show.
Right.
Yeah. That watermelon carpaccio she made, though, I was ready to have some of that. There were very few dishes that final challenge that I didn't at least want to try so that I could go, yes, that tuna's mealy.
Yes.
But, you know, whatever.
Everything looked great. And I don't think they had there was a couple of major complaints with All About Eve.
You just don't cook shrimp twice when you clearly don't know how to cook shrimp.
Right.
Yeah. Is this last season again with you know, this is not Top Scallop, this is Top Chef.
Yeah, that was rough. In case you missed it, Eve in the first episode, she was to make something
her vice was badly cooked shrimp.
And even thinking about her is too complex and confuses me.
I think words for her are too complex, frankly.
Yes.
So.
Yes, she. I mean, it was horrible.
She just mumbled her way through everything.
Yeah,
and I don't know how you mumble your way through cooking, but somehow she did it. You know,
she's ascended to a very high level professionally. Somehow,
yeah.
There's a void out there that she lives in where everything is confused. Everyone loves her food. So
I was trying to think of a good analogy, but it's almost like she got up. She at some point she had to have shown that she was talented in order to get to this point. Mm-hmm. But it's just like she either froze or she's like, I forgot how to cook a shrimp or.
I forgot how to speak.
Right.
Now, one thing, I believe Eve is the owner of her own catering company versus being a restaurant chef, where I think that, and whenever I see that, I always think to myself, because I've met caterers before who just, they know how to make what they know how to make.
Right.
And it's not going to be fine food necessarily.
Sometimes, but
people like it, and that's what they, you know, and in this case, it seemed to me like she was in a little over her head. And then, of course, we saw on Top Chef Masters, even great chefs, given these challenges, can get a little flustered.
Well, the caterers, and there's been a number of caterers on the show, and Laureen is a caterer as well. She did pretty well. Like, that challenge should have actually fit a caterer.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that's their advantage in these competitions and why they ultimately never win. Their main advantage is in these early level competitions where you're serving mass amounts of people, because they know what holds up under lots of sitting around time. Whereas a restaurant chef, their stuff goes up pretty quickly, and so if they're not catering a lot, then they can be in trouble. But as it goes deeper in and you're serving for smaller groups, the caterers generally, as you said, they're limited in what they can prepare, and they get outed. So anyway, so yes, it was Eve that was sent home. The girls were the losing team. On the other side, the men won, and you had the brother thing hit. That was kind of interesting. It's Michael and what's the...
Brian.
Brian, yes. The
Voltaggio.
And it's almost too perfect for TV, the way these brothers are. The young Republican older brother, very conservative, very straight arrow, and then the younger, cooler brother.
He looks like Tony Hawk, by
the way. Yeah, he does look like Tony Hawk.
But I've said this before the podcast started, but I've never had a brother, but I can't imagine. It seems like there's just such vile and
They're so
dislike there.
He's so competitive.
I do have a brother, and I love him dearly, and I think you absolutely can, but if you're going to really, really hate somebody, you're just not going to get a chance to hate anybody better than someone in your family.
That's true.
Yeah, that's it's been proven over time. We have the police blotter to prove it.
And I think if you add in the fact that they're both chefs, mm-hmm. given yeah. the competitive nature of that whole business.
And then they're on a competition.
Right, exactly. It's just the most, you think at some point they'd be like, oh, I was very happy for him.
And at one point, the young brother did say he was rooting for his older brother.
See, I don't think that they hate each other. I really don't. Watching it, it seems like they're very competitive and that they can get on each other's nerves. Mm-hmm. And that's another talent that a brother can have is to get on your nerves. But at some point, again, it's just like, well, okay, I'm doing what I'm doing. And this episode, they both did what they do very well.
Yeah. They were both very impressive,
well,
I thought.
Here's what's interesting. It's from a TV aspect. Bravo had to love this. Mm-hmm. Ooh, brothers, mm-hmm. this will be great. I don't know if you guys noticed, but during the quickfire, because the younger brother won the quickfire, mm-hmm. and every time that the chefs were talking to the younger brother, it was a quick cut to the older brother.
Oh, yeah.
And who's the winner? Younger brother. Older brother, show his face. And they probably shot that 2 weeks later mm-hmm. of him sort of wincing or something. He probably didn't really not want his brother to win.
Right.
He was probably, that wince was probably from them saying they didn't really care for what he had made.
Well, the undercooked black cod in the sous vide.
And that was probably the reaction. But then
I would have reacted that way if someone had fed me that. So, you like your fish cold in the middle. Mm. Interesting.
Welcome to the sushi bar. So the brothers both finished and the older brother was the winner, mm-hmm. and you're right. They both did really, really well on this thing.
That I think the one dish that I wanted to try the most. It usually is the winning dish, but in this case, I wanted that guacamole.
Yeah,
that looked amazing.
That was brilliant. I'm a crunch.
Mm-hmm.
Crunch is so mm-hmm. important, and yeah, that was just an incredibly smart. That's such a great idea for a catering gig. A bite. Mm-hmm. Of something with some really familiar bite with some interesting thing. You know they were thinking about that after they left.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're sitting here talking about it.
Right.
And we didn't even taste it. So.
If only. Why didn't one of you guys get married in Vegas last
week? Well, let's talk about let's close this thing out by talking a little bit more about who we think's coming and going. So I think we've identified some favorites here with what was her name? Jennifer and Kevin. Mm-hmm.
I think that as far as leaving, you're going to find some people who maybe have been faded into the background a little bit that, you know, just haven't really stepped up, and they're going to be probably the ones to go. And honestly, it's been a very – there are a lot of people who just haven't been seen or heard from.
Right, yeah. Who are our red-shirted Star Trek characters here at this point?
I think Laureen, Wicket.
And well, Preeti had a lot of. And
she
by
had
the
more
way, Preeti
time
is female.
This time.
I figured that out.
Her dish looked terrible. It was terrible.
Her boyish charm did not get her through. Big Ron Duprat, the man from the Green Mile.
He needs to keep his coat on. I'm just saying.
Yes, he does.
By the way, who thought that was a good idea to jump into the pool?
Yeah.
Not even the people doing it.
Yeah, so Jesse Sandlin is one that kind of she intrigues me. She's the one that came up with the really clever chicken dish mm-hmm. in week one that mm-hmm. didn't pan out. But it was clever.
This
it was
is
a great
this
idea.
Is 2 weeks in a row that she has gone to the final. She's been in the bottom four, mm-hmm. and both weeks she said, "I know what I did wrong."
Yeah.
And so, I'll be honest. If she ends up in the bottom four again next week, I think she's going home.
Yeah.
But if she can actually learn from what this, I mean, she's taking criticism well, which I always enjoy seeing. But unless she figures it out, mm-hmm. I think she'll.
But her
be gone.
It's her execution. Both times, she in both situations, she had a good idea for a dish.
And then she second guesses herself.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and then something happens. So she's the kind to me who I've seen in the past who they can get it or get one dish right, and then all of a sudden they shoot towards the top of the thing.
Like Carla last season. Mm-hmm. I think that's absolutely right.
Yeah, great example. Yeah, she was kind of Carla was sort of like it was almost like she had stage fright or something. Mm-hmm. And then she went back within herself and did simple things, and bam.
She just took off.
Yeah, she really did well. And that girl, I think, has the potential, but I'm with you. It could go the other way very, very easily. But then there's the Eli, Joe Wirtz, who didn't He didn't. He was. Was he on the show this week?
He's.
Did he take the week off? Or
actually, I thought was he not in the top four? I think he was in the top four.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was like. Oh yeah, he was, and it was, but it wasn't like that resounding love.
Hector was in the top four too.
Yeah,
wasn't
Hector.
He?
Hector. We saw him smile, totally sort of smile,
sort of kind of weird.
Frankly. I know, he's frightened me even
it's
more.
It's like he was gonna eat everyone.
Yeah, that's
deep fry them, and then
that's
eat
right.
Them,
that's right. Deep fry them. that's right. I believe we talked about his ability to deep fry another person's soul, and that might be what he's saving for the final episode, the soul fry. Right. So Mateen was another who just sort of him and his little accent just completely.
First, you said Mateen, I was like, who is that?
Exactly. Yeah.
Is that the Matador?
It is the Matador.
The French guy from Spain?
It's the French guy from Spain, absolutely. So I think we've identified a few people. And now, here's the big thing. We're still looking for a good send-off line. We don't have one. So if you guys have any, we'll go with it. We're pretty well done with the podcast at this point, but we don't have a good pack up your knives and leave type.
Pack up your Padma and leave.
Pack up your Padma and leave.
That sounds weird.
Now who did leave? It was Eve. Yeah. So pack up your mumbles and
maybe that's it. Maybe every week we change whatever is wrong with them. Yeah. Pack up your mumbles and leave.
Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna say goodbye and we're gonna say we're just mumbling on out of here. See you next time.
See you next time, baby.